Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The role of America's federal government is changing, and each day seems to bring a new round of mass layoffs and budget cuts. Whether you agree with those changes or the way they're being made, the most immediate effect is chaos and uncertainty around the services federal agencies have provided. Few institutions have faced more such uncertainty than the Department of Education. Last month, President Donald Trump issued an executive order that dismantled the department, a move that the White House deemed a savings of, quote, tens of billions of dollars wasted on progressive social experiments and obsolete programs. These changes involve millions of students, but there's another cut that's elicited particular concern, the closure of around half of the Department of Education's offices that investigate violations of civil rights. Those offices are supposed to look at cases of discrimination that often pertain to students with disabilities, and these cuts leave hundreds of Missouri cases in limbo. Kayvon Mansouri is an investigative reporter with the Midwest Newsroom. He joins us now to talk about his recent reporting about the chaos following Department of Education cuts and their effects on schools in Missouri and across the Midwest. Kayvon, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
Also with us is Sarah Jane Hunt. She's an attorney and managing partner at the law firm Kennedy Hunt. Sarah, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So, Kayvon, the subject of your investigation is the Office of Civil Rights. Now, this office is part of the Department of Education. So to set the stage here, what does this Civil Rights Office do, and who is it supposed to help?
So the Office of Civil Rights is basically, they are out to enforce civil rights laws in schools across the country. And those laws can have to do with race, sex or gender, discrimination, age, things of that, and disabilities, things of that nature. So basically what they're doing is making sure that these civil rights are in all of our nation's schools being followed. And they basically do this by taking complaints from whether it be students or their families or their guardians or whatever. And those complaints are raised up. They look into them. They either take them or don't, investigate. And it can kind of bring school districts to the table when things like, for instance, disabilities, are not, educational needs of those with disabilities or someone's being sexually harassed and the school district hasn't really dealt with those problems, it can bring the school district to the table through federal law to kind of adjudicate those things and try to seek remedies.
Right. Now, Sarah, when these complaints do get investigated, what sorts of outcomes do we see in the schools?
So that is one really good function of OCR. So they investigate, they get a lot of information, and oftentimes might take some type of enforcement action that can help the schools get into compliance. So if they find that students with disabilities are being suspended or disciplined at higher rates than those who do not have disabilities, they are able to come in and look at it from the ground up and utilizing their information that they have and that they are able to get to assist the school in doing better, mm-hmm. and also ensuring that the school takes it seriously, because essentially the end of that rainbow, if they don't comply, is they could potentially lose federal funding. Mm-hmm. Or in even more extreme cases, the case could be referred to the Department of Justice for an actual lawsuit brought on behalf of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Kayvon, you had a chance to talk with Hopi Fink, who's a staff attorney for Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. What did she tell you about the kinds of outcomes?
Yeah, we talked about basically why families, students come to this sort of the table and bring these complaints. And the reason why they do is because a lot of the times, this is, you know, these can be low income families who have sought out, other solutions or I think as Sarah Jane and I talked about in the story, people who can't afford other sort of like litigation, mm-hmm. But it can bring school districts to the table to, you know, as Sarah Jane said, you know, try to get a solution with some backing, with some oomph to like try to get things changed. And again, that can be through whether it's, you know, there's not a ramp at the school or things like that, or there's like sort of like harassment happening and nothing's being resolved. But what Hopi basically told us is that, you know, they deal with a lot of these. They sometimes also like sort of forward these people to these sort of discrimination complaints because it can be a more direct process to get mm-hmm. to get something done, okay. especially for like people who can't afford that sort of litigation.
Right. Well, and to put a finer point on it, Sarah, how is it that an Office of Civil Rights investigation and its outcome, how is it different from a lawsuit?
Sure. So one is the environment that the in which the case plays out tends to be a lot less adversarial. Our litigation system, for better or for worse, is based off an adversarial environment. Mm-hmm. Two parties pitted against each other. It's not to say that there isn't any adversarial process in the OCR investigation, but it is essentially a process that occurs where a complaint is filed, OCR investigates, and oftentimes everyone I've been involved in comes to the table with some type of conciliatory measure or attempt to mediate. The good thing here is when I'm litigating something, I have what my clients have information-wise and evidence-wise, and that is it. Mm-hmm. I don't have, unless it's a government entity that I can get a bunch of information via Sunshine Act request or FOIA, I don't have a lot of the data necessary to really dig into the structure or the system that might be causing the problem. Mm-hmm. And so OCR, when it investigates, isn't just taking the plaintiff's information down, but is also going to the school. And I want to point out that this is obviously public schools, K through 12, but it also applies to public universities, any private school that accepts federal funds, and charter schools as well. Mm-hmm. Even vocational schools that accept federal funds and adult ed programs in correctional facilities. So I see this mostly in that that K through 12 scenario, but this runs the gamut of the educational spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so they can involve themselves and get information in this setting, and then work to correct it.
Okay.
And that might end up with a corrective plan mm-hmm. that everyone follows, and that OCR is able to enforce even after the case is closed. Whereas in litigation, usually what we're talking about is money, because that's usually what you can get.
Right.
There are some situations where you can get what's called injunctive relief and some amount of monitoring, but that is very, very, very rare. And the burden that I have to show as the litigant to get that is incredibly high, whereas that's the baseline here. You're really seeking change versus damages.
Okay. And so changes in policy and practice, mm-hmm. I think that is something that is useful to be thinking about, especially as there are sort of allegations of frivolous litigation. That's good context to have. Now, Kayvon, I understand that your reporting on this began after the cuts to the Office of Civil Rights were announced, and you found that 210 civil rights complaints were pending in Missouri. What do those complaints represent?
Yeah, so that, you know, a wide broad spectrum of things, but, you know, and again, these all sort of revolve around race, gender, disability, and age. But just to give you, you know, breakdown, you know, because I put it all into a spreadsheet just to break down some data, you have, you know, of the pending cases, you have 47 cases of racial harassment, 43 pending cases of sexual harassment or violence, 34 of disability, like retribution for disabilities, and then 68 of the cases is actually for free and appropriate education, which basically is the entitlement to people who living with disabilities, that they get the equal education to that of their peers provided by their school districts. So that, and that actually, if you look at the entire spreadsheet and the entire, and anyone can go online and look at all the pending civil rights cases, there's about 12,000. And typically that database is updated by the Department of Education weekly, but actually it hasn't been updated since about January 14th. So we know something has changed there.
Right.
But basically, yeah, you can see that the vast majority of these cases are actually revolving around, you know, the disability, these free and appropriate education sort of complaints.
So what does pending mean, or, you know, like, what could that represent? Because 12,000, that is a big number.
Yeah, I mean, open cases, you know, where the Department of Education is either still at the table, or there is still, you know, policies haven't changed, a decision hasn't been made. And that's where the question is, like, where are these cases going, especially with all these layoffs? I mean, there's now half the amount of people, half the amount of offices. So who is going to investigate these cases? How are they going to get sort of, how are they going to play out?
Yeah. Sarah Jane, you don't handle all sorts of cases, not all the same kinds of cases that would come before the Office of Civil Rights. But what is it that went through your mind when you heard about the closure of all these offices?
Well, I do actually handle all of these kinds. Basically, if there's a discrimination element, we work to, assuming we can get through the very, very, very high burden that a plaintiff has to overcome in the litigation context, we will handle it.
Okay.
And in this sense, I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
Yeah. I mean, what was it that went through your mind when you heard?
I mean, panic.
Yeah.
And I think that this comes from, you know, I've had a relationship with OCR now for decades because I've had complaints before them for race discrimination, for sex discrimination. I've had them for disability discrimination, both in higher ed and in secondary ed. And I have always felt that the investigators were understaffed, undersupported. And when I criticize the before process, the before the cut process, I want to be clear, I'm not criticizing the workers, because these are individuals who are going above and beyond to try to get some modicum of justice for the complainants, but they've never been supported at the level that they have need to be. I mean, if just going through all the things we just spoke about, the amount and breadth of the types of claims that they are investigating is vast, and they have never gotten the support under any administration, as far as I'm concerned, that they deserve. So the idea that the plan is to come in and cut them off at the knees is catastrophic. I can't put too fine a point on that.
Mm-hmm. So Katie Dullum is the former deputy director of the Office of Civil Rights, and she resigned before the cuts to the Department of Education. Dullum told ProPublica that the closing of these civil rights offices will, quote, strip students of equitable education, place our most vulnerable at great risk, and set back educational success that for many will last their lifetimes. Kayvon, what do you make of that point? And I guess more specifically, that connection between educational success and civil rights, what is it that came out of the reporting that you did?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just note, just, you know, to give credit, ProPublica's reporting is where I got the basis to look into this in our region. But basically, you know, what's at stake here, you know, everyone I've talked to says it's a big loss for students, you know, who are going to school to try to get an equal education, you know, especially when it comes, I mean, in all different, you can see from the different sort of pending cases that we brought up, you know, these cases, they take a while to sort of play out. And now it's sort of like taking away this sort of, you know, what kind of amounts to like a last ditch effort to get some change done, you know, if a student is being discriminated against or has a civil rights violation, you know. And I think, you know, when we were talking about the story, you know, I think we had the conversation. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, it's you know, it jumps right to like civil rights. It must be, you know, just about race or something like that. You know, I think that's a knee jerk reaction. But you can see it's not just it's race. It's disability. It's age. It covers a lot of stuff. And it feels like it should be non-political. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, that's what's at stake here. There's a lot to lose for students and their families who are trying to get some equal education.
Mm-hmm. And if I might add to this, you know, obviously I'm a plaintiff's lawyer. I'm always on the side of the student and their families. But through this process, the OCR investigation and the resources that come with that are not just for students. You know, sometimes I do have bad actors that are truly coming from a place of ill intent. But a lot of the times, you look at the school districts who are also severely under-resourced, mm-hmm. who are also struggling to interpret these very complicated laws. I have, for my special education cases, I have clients who have more degrees than I do, who are all lawyers. Some of them are judges. And it's very complicated to figure out how these laws work. And so you have schools with good intentions who are just not providing the right outcomes. And what OCR can do and does often do is provide resources to them to help them get these structures in place so that they can provide the services under the law. Mm-hmm. If they don't have that, they have to go and spend more money to get special legal counsel to help them work through these outcomes. And so this is a travesty for students, but it's also cutting off a resource for the schools themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're learning today about the impact of cuts to the U.S. Department of Education and how cuts to the department's Office of Civil Rights have left thousands of investigations in limbo, including hundreds of cases in Missouri. I'm here with Kayvon Mansouri, investigative reporter at NPR's Midwest Newsroom, and also with me is civil rights attorney Sarah Jane Hunt. So these investigations and, you know, these cases, are there any examples of, you know, how these investigations are opened and their impact? You know, give us maybe a sense of what this looks like in the real life setting.
Yeah. I mean, I think the example we used in our story was out of Iowa. It was a school district in Iowa that basically a student had dealt with some bullying, some racist bullying, where basically some other students were they had made some jokes about the KKK. They had at one point, I believe, reenacted the death of George Floyd,
right.
The police officer Derek Chauvin, by kneeling on a Gatorade bottle, things like that. And basically, you know, they had gone to the school. The family felt the school didn't do enough to sort of subvert that sort of racist bullying that was going on. So that was taken, after a year or two, the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights came with, basically, they had the school district come to the table. The school district agreed they were going to make some changes, review their policies, change their policies. And that's probably the best example that I've found in, like, our area of just, you know, something that really shows, like, you know, a family, they went to see, like, you know, this is, they didn't feel like enough was being done. The school district came to the table, changes were made.
Mm-hmm. Kayvon, there is opposition to these cuts to the Office of Civil Rights. And you mentioned in your investigative report that two parents have filed a lawsuit over this. What is the argument that they're making?
So basically, yeah, it's a class action lawsuit, and they're asking for not only the firings to be reversed at the Department of Education, but also for all of the pending civil rights OCR investigations to be resolved, for a judge to say they must be resolved. And that basically, they're arguing that right now, President Trump and Department of Education Director Linda McMahon are overriding Congress by making these cuts and sort of shutting down a branch of government that is, funded by Congress by basically just slashing it and just putting an end to these things like this, like these investigations. But a lot of other things, too. The Department of Education has so many, you know, as we've spoken on this on this show before about mm-hmm. McKinney-Vento
yes.
laws and things of that nature, there's mm-hmm. a lot of responsibilities they have.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the closure specifically, you know, the Department of Education used to have 12 regional civil rights offices across the country, and the recent cuts include 7 of those offices. Now, Missouri did not have its own civil rights office. There is one in Chicago, which is being closed, but the civil rights office in Kansas City remains open. I mean, how does losing these regional offices affect us locally?
Yeah, I mean, I could speculate. I think, you know, with less offices, less staff could, you know, I think you could do the math. But I think, Sarah Jane, you might be able to speak to that
yeah,
a little bit better.
Yeah,
honestly.
Well, I think the local perspective is also important. If you have people based in an office, and you know, education is local, right? How our school boards are run is local, how our schools are set up is local. And so it's very helpful to have someone who is nearby to have that understanding when they're running their investigations. And then there's also just the sheer numbers standpoint. So they were already struggling to get cases investigated and closed in a timely manner prior to these cuts. And so if we're cutting those 7 offices, regardless of where those cuts are, mm-hmm. There are simply not going to be enough investigators to be able to handle the calls that are coming in and the complaint forms that are being submitted. It is just going to completely clog the system that was already not incredibly efficient to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Jane, your work frequently involves Department of Education, but I understand that your work also covers different forms of discrimination, especially around housing. How is it that cuts to these agencies, you know, affecting your work in other areas of civil rights? Like, what will the effect be?
Well, we actually know more about the cuts to HUD, for instance, because those happened. The Department of Education cuts were a little bit further down the timeline than those to HUD. And so I do have HUD investigates discrimination and housing complaints. It acts a lot like OCR, except for specifically in the housing arena. And I've already seen cases, investigations just simply be closed without explanation, though they don't really need explanation. I know what's happening.
Sure.
Or the one that I have pending, I cannot get the investigator to return any emails. Then again, like I said about the workers in the OCR offices, I am not faulting this investigator because as far as I can tell, every other person in the office has been fired. Mm-hmm. So you now have somebody, again, another under-resourced office that was struggling to keep up before, now being cut off at the knees, trying to do their job. The job duties haven't changed.
Right,
the process
right.
has not changed. Mm-hmm. Everything about how you issue these complaints and how they're supposed to be investigated has not changed. They've just made it so there are less resources and less people doing it. So it is just going to fail by default.
Yeah. And you have to continue doing your job.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, what is it that people can do? I mean, should people still make complaints to the Office of Civil Rights, which is why we asked you to come to talk with us, or should they just go straight to lawsuits?
Well, I mean, that's a two-parter. So let me start with the first. So yes, I don't know that that is going to get you any kind of outcome that you're seeking. I don't know that you are going to get a case that is investigated as intended. But what it does do is it puts data out there so reporters like Kayvon and other people can see that the need is still there. It is justifying the need for these offices, and it helps bring the argument later when we continue beating down the doors saying, hopefully everybody's calling, you know, their representatives, their state, their federal representatives, explaining how this is unacceptable. And what this will also do is just continue to show that there is a need for this. If everybody stops, then it's just going to justify the argument that they need to be closed down.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to private litigation, that's not as easy as one might think. This is very specialized. I am one of very few private lawyers who do this type of work in both Illinois and Missouri. There are legal aid organizations who are trying to work through their caseload, who are also facing potential cuts from the government. And then you have to, these individuals have to find you and bring a case which has a much higher burden, not just of proof, but of essentially, if you come to me, there has to be a lawsuit filed, investigated, discovery done, meaning we're exchanging documents, we're exchanging testimony, we're exchanging written questions and answers. And maybe, if we're lucky, you see an outcome in like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's if we're lucky. I had a housing case 2 years ago that just the first level from start to trial was 7 years.
Wow.
That's a whole other issue. We don't have enough judges. So litigation sounds like, well, I'll just sue. That's not as easy as it sounds for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Well, clearly, this is not a story that is done. So, Kayvon, we may have you back on again in the future. Kayvon Mansouri is an investigative reporter for NPR's Midwest Newsroom. You can read his latest piece about the closing of civil rights offices on our website. That's stlpr.org. Kayvon, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Sarah Jane Hunt is an attorney and managing partner at the civil rights law firm Kennedy Hunt. Sarah, thank you to you as well.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.